This is the Eye on Potatoes, brought to you by the National Potato Council. The Eye is the place to tune in for conversations with growers and thought leaders on advocacy, production, and all things potatoes. Now, here's your host, Lane Nordland.
Alrighty, friends, welcome back to another conversation here on the Eye on Potatoes podcast. I'm Lane Nordland, and we're actually recording this show at the 2023 Potato Expo. That is taking place, or took place, in Denver, Colorado at the Gaylord Rockies Resort. And there was snow on the ground when folks arrived, and there was sun shining on those Rocky Mountains. They get about 300 days of sunshine a year down here in Colorado. So great place to grow crops and livestock, and we're having a great time here today. And you know, one thing about the future of the potato industry is always having a strong foundation of leadership so that next generation of leaders and industry participants can go out and advocate on behalf of the industry. And you've heard us talk about the Potato Industry Leadership Institute in the past. And last year, the Leadership Institute celebrated 20 years of advocacy and creating that next generation of leaders. So I'm actually excited about today's show because we have a wide range of participants that have gone through the Leadership Institute at least one time. Several of our participants have gone through it maybe twice or maybe even five times. But as we gather here today, I want to introduce quickly our guest today. First, I'll talk about the individual that has gone five times through various years on this trip. It's not because he forgot how to be a leader. It's they needed to utilize that leadership to help train that next generation. Dave Warsh is joining us. He's with Warsh Farms out of Center, Colorado. Next, we have Derek Peterson. He's Vice President of Sales and Operations with Wilcox Fresh out of Rexburg, Idaho. He participated in the 2012 class and then went again in 2013 as a grower leader. Next, we got Taylor Grant. He's CEO of Grant 4D Farms out of Rupert, Idaho, and he participated in that 2022 class. And finally, someone that is very new to leadership, RJ Andrus joins us, owner of TBR Farms out of Idaho Falls. That's in Idaho, right?
Idaho Falls, yeah, yeah.
He participated in the 2006 class. I think I was a sophomore in high school then. And he went on to, of course, become a board member of the Potato Leaf Foundation. And he's actually the incoming president of the National Potato Council. He'll get that gavel during the Potato Summit in Washington, D.C. at the end of February, first part of March. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Eye on Potatoes podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's good to be here, Lane.
Well, again, for our listeners, we do have a little bit of background noise, but that's the excitement of the expo. We have a speaker on the main stage, and we're here in the Eye on Potatoes podcast. And, of course, we would just like to give our thanks to our sponsor of the podcast, that being our friends at Syngenta. Again, they continue to bring you this podcast every single month, and they continue to deliver solutions to help producers face the potato industry's complex challenges. Syngenta provides growers with unmatched field expertise along with an array of effective products. Explore Syngenta.us/spuddoctor to discover solutions for your potato growing obstacles. Well, as we come here, just last night, the latest class of the Leadership Institute was celebrated with a reception. I got to crash that party last night. RJ, you were there. Was anyone else at that? Taylor, yeah. Was that your celebration?
That was mine, yeah. The first time through the class, it was kind of the celebration where we got to meet and greet with everybody and see how their year went.
Well, RJ and I were at that, and I kind of snuck in since I'm kind of in a role with Potato Council, or maybe I was just the guy crashing the party. But it was great to see and hear about 20 years, going on 21 years of this program, and that's what we're going to talk about. But I think it's important to also, I did a quick intro on what your operations are and what your roles are. But Dave, I'm going to start with you first. Let's talk about your family operation there in Center, Colorado, and when you first heard about the Potato Leadership Institute.
So I'm a first generation potato grower. I actually grew up in the city and ended up moving to a farm and didn't marry into it and ended up farming. I'm currently retiring. So I got into potato politics through trying to influence some legislation at the state level, and figured after my first trip to testifying in front of the Senate twice in one day that I wasn't very qualified for the job. So when the opportunity came up to go to the leadership program, I thought I better take it up. And so my very first trip, I was looking forward to learning how to communicate my message to leaders and to the legislature. And I think it's been the most valuable program I've ever done personally in my life.
RJ, same for you. As we look at your experience moving up through leadership as well, what led you to going through the program back in 2006?
So I got involved with the Idaho Grower Shippers, and I started getting really intrigued how things worked. And so when the opportunity came up to go on leadership, I decided to go. And when I went, it opened up a whole new world to me about how things work. Like, seriously, most farmers that don't know just think all these things just fall out of the sky and land in their lap and everything's cool. They have no idea the fights we have with the EPA, with trade, with all these different things. And when we went to Grand Forks, and then we went to Washington, D.C., and it completely opened my eyes, and I decided, you know what, you need to get involved in this, and I have, and it's probably, I'm with Dave, it was probably the greatest experience, leadership experience of my life.
And Derek, for yourself, going through 10 years ago and then 9 years ago as a grower leader, first off, I didn't ask RJ to talk about his operation because RJ's been on the podcast before. So first, Derek, could you share more about the operation that you're a part of? And then we'll lead into that, why you thought it was important, or maybe somebody pushed you in direction of going through the Leadership Institute.
Yeah. So, you know, our organization, it's a multi-generational family operation, started in 1948. I didn't grow up in the potato farming world. I kind of, like Dave said, I was one of the ones that married into it. So I started in 06, and it wasn't very shortly after that that it was actually RJ pulled me aside. I don't know if you remember that, RJ.
I sure do.
But he said, Peterson, he said, you know, we have a whole new generation of people that need to get involved in the potato industry. And it's not going to be a lot of fun if you just sit on the sidelines and watch. So we need guys involved. And that was kind of exciting for me. Because so I, you know, we jumped in and it wasn't too long. And we, you know, got involved in some stuff. And it's been really rewarding. You know, I walk around here now, you know, 10 years later, and I know a lot more people. You know, there's not a lot of strangers here. So it's I think that's the most rewarding part is getting to meet everybody and learn from other people's challenges and just a lot of opportunity.
And Taylor, since you're the latest graduate for the Leadership Institute, first let's talk about the operation back in Idaho as well, but then how you discovered the Leadership Institute and, or like I said, maybe somebody pushed you in that direction, because sometimes that's the best form of getting involved, but I'll let you have the floor.
I appreciate it. Thanks, sir. It's great to be here. The operation is third generation operation. Grandpa moved up from California, and was awarded the farm ground that we're currently operating on. And then my father and mother got involved and grew the operation, and then had some aunt and uncles also get involved. And currently it's just my dad and myself that are in the operation today, but we're just continuing to grow. And a little bit of a different background, I told myself there was no way I was going to ever farm. And so I took every class except for shop or ag or anything like that in high school and college, went and got a commercial photography degree. And so then got married, moved back to the farm in 2013. And at that point in time, I felt like I've got a lot of catching up to do. And got involved with the Leadership Idaho Agriculture Program back in Idaho. And then jumped into the Potatoes USA role. And then from there, just kept looking and hungering for whatever the next program that I can get my hands on to understand more about this industry and really get the experience, get the knowledge, and get the practice. And then lastly, getting the network to really understand what this industry is, how it functions, and how I can contribute in my own little place in the system. So it's been a great experience. Really appreciate the experience last year. Phenomenal group of people that we were able to go through with, and really, really would encourage anybody to go through it.
Was the media training in D.C. really hard?
Say that one more time.
Was the media training out in Washington, D.C. really hard?
It was brutal.
Yeah, those guys were really mean that participated in the media training out in D.C. last year.
But it's come in handy, honestly, even since then. I've been asked to do several different interviews, TV interviews, podcast interviews. So the media training was great.
I participated. I was not the only one, but we had a great time out there at the summit last year. But, you know, as we look at this, you know, we can talk about just going through it, but some of our listeners may not know what exactly the trip is like and what is involved. And Taylor, maybe I'll start with you first. Could you just share what the journey was like during 2022? And then I'll have Dave talk about, you know, the program, and we'll see kind of how it's evolved.
Yeah, the 22 program, we started down in California and went to Long Beach and checked out the shipping yards down there, got to see what technology can do for shipping and the ports and how it functions. Then we traveled around and saw some farming operations, saw some small potato operations and packing sheds, then traveled back up and jumped on a plane and went to D.C. and got to see the political side of things and really understand where the arm wrestling seems to be happening these days and see it function, you know, not just hearing about it, not just reading out about it, but being in it, living, breathing, watching everything happen and meeting those folks that are really moving and shaking the industry. So it was a great experience from coast to coast.
And Dave, maybe going back to when this program got started, what was it like in the early years?
The very first trip, we went to Boise, Idaho first, and we did a lot of, we even did some farm visits. We toured around. It was a little longer program. I know you think it was long last year, but the bonding part is the key, and you have to keep people together long enough to get them to bond together, and that way you know people from every area, every potato-producing area in the country. And we started in Idaho. We worked our way. We flew to Chicago and got to do some of our training in Chicago, and we got to do a visit with McDonald's, which was very educational for the growers. Then the group continued on to Washington, D.C., and we did more training in Washington, D.C., did a little bit of the sightseeing, but the hill visits and the follow-up work, putting all their work, all their efforts to work.
We got some hecklers in the background. But, well, thanks for sharing that. And then maybe what was it like on maybe trips 4 and 5?
I was getting older the later they were. Then I was the chaperone there to keep people on the high moral ground. So a little different scenario. But still meeting a lot of growers, a lot of people from different areas. And then I think the newer program is great. You guys have condensed it up. Works well. I would highly recommend anybody who would even consider it to do it. Don't think you don't have the skills to do it. Please participate. To RJ's point, there's only so many people in this business, and we have to have people that are willing and able to do this. I went right in from my first trip to being the NPC president the next year. So that's 20 years now, too. So, I'm an advocate for this program all the way across. You will learn things that you don't really think are necessary on the farm, but just an example is we have a personality, or we used to have a personality evaluation where you could tell what kind of personality type other people are for dealing with them. I found that to be very beneficial at home more than any place else. And if you want to keep a farm surviving, you better have a good home life. So I think everything that we do in the program works great.
We'll have more on the 20 years of the Potato Industry Leadership Institute right after these words from Syngenta. Syngenta cares about potato producer productivity and offers a wide variety of seed treatment options, protecting your investment from the beginning. Syngenta's all-liquid seed treatment Cruiser Max Vibrance potato offers protection from harmful insect pests, including Colorado potato beetle, green peach aphid, and leafhoppers. Additionally, Cruiser Max Vibrance potato delivers immediate protection against fungal diseases. Contact your local retailer for information on Cruiser Max Vibrance potato, Cruiser Max Potato Extreme, or Maxim MZ to find out what best fits your farm needs.
Well, thanks for that insight, Dave, and especially how programs do evolve, and just to see it continuing to go and impact so many lives of men and women involved in the potato industry. And RJ, I think you graduated college in 2005 and then jumped on the trip in 2006, so you got a young start into that too. But what was that trip like for you?
Well, we started in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I don't know if anybody here has been there. So it was 60 below zero. And so we pretty much spent the whole time in the hotel because we couldn't really go out. But just being with, I mean, you have to room with another guy. And like Dave said, you bond with your group. A lot of them are still very, very good friends. And but the big deal for me was going to Washington, D.C. That was a big deal for me, to just see how all this stuff works and how our voice does matter.
And RJ really takes the grief I get him really well. He's probably going to get back at me later, but
I will.
and Derek, for yourself, what was that trip like? What did it entail?
Yeah, so in 2012, we started on upstate New York and got some really neat farm tours up there. And like all these guys said, you start forming bonds with these classmates. And we took a bus all the way down through New York and Pennsylvania, ended up in D.C. in the middle of the night. And, man, it was – by the time we got to D.C., I mean, these guys were your pals, man. So you're running around D.C., you get to the sights and the sounds, and then you know the program there is really good. But then when you actually go up to Capitol Hill, I mean that was the icing on the cake, man. I don't think I had a clue what advocating for the potato industry looked like until we went there, and we went to the congressman's offices and the senator's offices. And of course, you know, being from Idaho, we always get a pretty warm reception. I don't know that happens in a lot of other states, but we had a really warm reception from all of our senators and congressmen. And man, it was cool for me because I got to come back in 2013. So in 13 we started in Idaho, which was fun. We got to host the group and got to be friends with those guys. And then once again, you know, followed it up with a second year in D.C. and that was just a lot of fun. Great learning experience. You know, really appreciate everything the guys at the MPC do for us there in D.C. on a daily basis.
Well, one thing that I find really interesting, of course, you have Dave being a first-generation producer. Taylor didn't really know he was going to find himself back in the operation as well, and then Derek marrying into it. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is education never stops. I think that limits a lot of people. They think, I'm out of high school, I'm out of college, I can't learn anything different from how I was raised or what my family did. And I think that continuing education of programs like the Leadership Institute are so important. How did that help further your knowledge and involvement of these family operations, whether the first generation getting through that, figuring out how to testify in front of a legislative panel, or just trying to deal with other family members and those dynamics. Taylor, you got a microphone with you. I'll let you maybe take a stab at that.
Yeah, the experiences that came through it, you know, just the practice, we were practicing with each other, you know, conversations that we were going to have with family members at home or with employees at home. And so we got the opportunity, the chance to have those conversations in front of our classmates and get feedback from our classmates, get feedback from the professionals that were teaching and leading the classes. And so that just helped us prep ourselves for whatever the next conversation that was going to happen. And so for me, that was a big help in just furthering my education, and then just all the other pieces of leadership development that they come through, you know, from the basics of dressing for success, or what's, you know, the power of a handshake, you know, just simple things that oftentimes get taken for granted, but make a big impact when you have just a couple of seconds to make that first impression.
Derek, what were some of those tools that you were able to put in your tool belt?
You know, I was trying to think about topics to talk about, but when you guys brought up that media training, that like opened up Pandora's box. It was all these memories I've been trying to suppress, and but it was honestly, thinking back now, the media training was very valuable. I mean, trying to really tell your story, you know, and nothing against the media, you know, they do a great job, and they want to tell their story, but making sure that we get our point across too, and that we tell this, we write the story that the potato industry needs to be told. And so that's probably the one main thing that stuck with me, and I, you know, given a lot of interviews to newspapers and other things over the years, and that always seems to come back around, trying to make sure that we paint the picture and tell the story that needs told in the potato industry, not the story that the media wants to print on the front page.
So, Derek, on a side note, when you said that's why I'm smiling, with my media training, the lady was asking me a question, and she kept asking it, and I got mad, and I said, well, if you'd shut up for a minute and listen to me, you'd get the answer. So they immediately cut the thing. They're like, dude, you don't do that. So I actually learned some valuable things, too.
I think the biggest thing I learned was that there's no real new problems in this business. And if you reach out to somebody, if I reached out to RJ, there's probably been something that he's already experienced. Or, you know, I can call somebody in Maine if there's a similar issue coming up in Colorado. It just saves you a lot of money. You don't have to go through every pandemic alone or whatever. Most of that stuff's already happened someplace else. When you know a grower in every area, you have somebody to call and somebody to contact and somebody to follow up with and find out what they did and help avoid it in your area. So I think I'm back to the growers. The people you meet and the interaction you have with them is the best thing going. I think a lot of growers think that they don't ever have to leave their own farm. They're whatever, 1,000 acres or whatever it is, and they just never have to go anyplace else. But to RJ's point, if somebody's not doing it, then somebody else is going to be telling your story for you. So we need people participating. We need people going through these programs, and we need people coming and putting in the effort, because you will find it rewarding, even if you don't think you will in advance.
I agree, Dave. To your point about being able to reach out to different areas, I mean, we know everybody here. We know every grower. We have their phone numbers. We all talk freely and openly. When I first got into this, we were all kind of fierce competitors, and we were territorial. And it's evolved into we're just a big family that try to help each other and try to, you know, do different things. And so, yeah, that touches the most important thing we learn.
But you talk about just meeting producers from so many different areas. How important is that for you to just be so much more knowledgeable about these different growing areas and understanding that the weather might be great in one portion of the nation, but it's not great where I'm at right now. Or, you know, just being able to say, hey, your senator is against this. Can we work together to try and push this? And, of course, that's the role of the National Potato Council, Cam Quarles and his team in D.C., being of course, the boots on the ground in D.C. for everyone on the day. But that face-to-face interaction with leaders is so important. How important was it just to see a different area of agriculture in your same business, but a totally different landscape?
Yeah, that's a great topic. And when we were down in California, we get to see an operation that they're growing potatoes, you know, multiple times throughout a growing season. You know, and up in Idaho, you know, we get the frost and everything shuts down, and so winter time is slowed down. And down there, they're planting 250 days out of the year, harvesting 300 plus days out of the year. I mean, it's a completely different operation. It's a different mindset. The structure of everything is totally different from how we are doing it up in Idaho. And being able to see that, seeing the challenges that they're overcoming, and then asking myself, what can we learn from their operation, and what makes that business model different from our operation? What can I take home and apply to our operation, and what things fit and what things don't fit? But like the gentleman was saying before me, that you can reach across the country and talk with folks that are having different struggles, different challenges, and you can learn from that. And if we are stubborn in our own ways and say, nah, I've got nothing to learn from anybody else, that's the day you go broke.
Anyone else want to share on that?
Well, I was just going to say, and the follow-up after you become involved in the National Potato Council or Potatoes USA is you get to go to summer meetings also. And being a grower from Colorado, I had to go to my first summer meeting in Washington State to ever see a Colorado potato beetle. I didn't know what one was. So I had to go to Washington to see a Colorado potato beetle. So we don't have them, most of Colorado. So.
Yeah, that's sounds like they should maybe change the name nowadays, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, just that beetle. But I guess what piece of advice do you have to someone listening, whether they've been involved with the family operation, first generation, multi-generational, about the importance of paying their dues, getting involved on the state and national level, and looking at these leadership roles? Because the industry continues to get smaller in terms of U.S. agricultural producers, operations, the main stockholders of most operations are getting to that age where the kids are either going to take it over or it's going to get sold. But we don't want to see that happen, and we have to have that open communication, the leadership. What piece of advice do each of you have to someone out there that maybe has participated in the Leadership Institute and maybe should, hey, if you haven't stepped up, step up or participate in the Leadership Institute? That's a very long question when I just could have said, what do you want to tell somebody to be involved in leadership?
What I think is the new program now with the follow-up, the Potato Leaf, RJ's fine work here of the Potato Leaf, actually having follow-up classes or get-togethers. You had a reception last night, but summer meeting also. I think that new version is going to be better than anything we've done. And once you build the continuity of the groups, then you have to take those groups and mesh them together and get a bigger continuity. Then you'll have more people. And that's the way the industry will survive. If the industry goes back to being fragmented, it's not going to survive in this high-tech, high-paced world. So we need to get people together.
Agree, Dave. You know, Lane, on a side note, I don't know if you've been with us at one of our sessions in D.C., probably the breakfast session. They always say, would all the past participants of the leadership program please stand up? And I would say 90% of the leadership.
We did that live podcast last year. And, yeah, I think 90% or
90% of the leadership stands up, and they've been through leadership. So my advice is, if you've been through or you want to go through, go do it and then continue on doing it. Don't just go home and say, well, I did it, that's a check-off deal, and I'm done. No, get involved, because we need, Potatoes USA needs board members, the council needs board members, and we need good board members that are involved and engaged. And so that's my advice. If you haven't gone, go. If you have gone, stay involved.
Derek, any thoughts?
just echo what these guys are saying. I mean, there's so much opportunity to get involved, whether it's just regionally. You know, there's the Idaho Grower Shipper Association. I jumped right after leadership. I kind of jumped in there. I'm going on my 9th year there with the Grower Shipper Association. It's really rewarding. I mean, we advocate for potatoes and growers and shippers. We provide educational opportunities. We have a scholarship program. There's a lot of cool things locally that people can do in each of their states, whether it's in the state commissions and boards. There's opportunities to get involved with leadership there, and then obviously on the national level, and I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I'm wrapping up some time serving in Idaho, and I really look forward to getting involved more nationally in the coming years. So I used to think of myself as one of the young guys, when RJ pulled me aside 15 years ago.
And you were then, Derek.
Yeah. So, and I just tell the young guys coming up, just what RJ told me 15 years ago, get involved, don't sit on the sidelines, jump in and just play a role. So,
Taylor?
Yeah, I would echo that. What makes me nervous as we look towards the future is the folks that are making the laws, making regulation, everything that we're going to have to live by are becoming less and less involved and touched by agriculture. And I would bet that many of the people that are involved in leadership, that are involved in Potatoes USA or on these boards, I don't know how many of them would say, man, I just absolutely love doing this. And I would do this day in and out. I think a lot of them would probably say, man, I've got other stuff I could be doing right now. But the laws and regulations that we're going to have to live by, those rules are going to be made by whoever's sitting at the table. And if we are not at the table, then we're just going to have to live with it. And we're probably not going to like it. And so I would tell anybody that is involved in agriculture, whether you love it or not, whether you think that you're the right spokesperson, doesn't really matter. That if you are a grower, if you're involved in agriculture, if you're involved in potatoes, then you are the right person to tell your story. And we need more folks that are telling that story. We need more folks that are advocating on behalf of agriculture, because those rules are going to be made. And we need folks at the table that have the industry at heart, have the industry in the best interest, and making sure they get involved. And so I would tell anybody, whether you think that you're right fit or not, get involved and just be a part of the conversation.
They have a saying in D.C., Taylor, to your point. They say if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu.
Yeah, yep.
I said that was my last question, but Dave, you mentioned that you're retiring. You're a first generation. Do you think you would have stayed in the business as long as you did had you not participated, not just in the Leadership Institute, but on the state and national level through the different roles over the years?
Maybe longer. No, just kidding. I think I'm back to the same thing. The training helps so much on the farm level that a first-time person, first-time grower, doesn't really have all the technical skills to deal with help and personalities and all the other parts of the business that you have to do. And I really credit the leadership program for that. And first and foremost, though, back to relationships and relationships at home, learning how to understand other personality types, in my mind, is helpful in the business. And it's helpful with sales, but it's helpful with your wife or your spouse. And I think it was one of the greatest things for me to learn. I was already married, 10 or 15 years by then, but it was one of the best things for me to learn is the difference in personality. So I think it's helped me stay as long as I have.
Well, again, this conversation went really quick, and I think we could actually continue it for another half hour, but I know we have a very busy schedule here at Expo. There's a lot of great speakers. There's so many great vendors here on the trade show floor. But thank you all for joining us. And again, if you're interested in learning more about the Potato Industry Leadership Institute and, of course, the Potato Leadership Education Advancement Foundation, or PLEAF, which helps run the program, just check them out online. And find the time to participate. It's a great opportunity to not only learn more about yourself, but about all the other producers in the industry and all the stakeholders involved. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you, Lane. Thank Always you. Good to be on.
Well, friends, that will do it for today here on the Ion Potatoes podcast. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Thanks for tuning in to the National Potato Council's Eye on Potatoes podcast with host Lane Nordlund. For more information, visit nationalpotatocouncil.org and make sure to subscribe to the podcast today.